Wonderful, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We bless the holy name of Heavenly Father, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this hour that we can spend together in fellowship and around thy word, Lord, as we worship you. Give us, Lord, understanding this hour that we're living. And we ask that, Lord, again, as the word being ministered, that you reveal to us a little here and there, give us understanding, and we may treasure your word, Father, for this hour. When the world is in this condition, Father, we know your word will strengthen us and keep us in the way. We commit, O Lord, all things to you now. May you break down the word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Last week we finished off with the explanation about the seventh seal. We said that, now let's just go to Revelation now, if you have. And I said that the seventh seal, what's in the seventh seal? What's in the seventh seal is what we see in Revelation 10. Now for those who say, how could it be? But let's just look at how the Bible places that thing. Now if you go to chapter 6. Now chapter 6, you have that seal book that open up one after another. One after another. And then when they came to the sixth seal, it's the same. And they opened up the sixth seal, and there was an earthquake, and so on and so on. Now, following that opening of the sixth seals, there was no mention of the seventh seal. So he just go all the way down to chapter 7, still not there. Then he appears in chapter 8, in the first verse. Why is it such a distant away from chapter 6? And then when it opened, there was silence. Nothing happened. Just silence. Nothing was said. Nothing was shown to John. Just silence. So then when we read down, he talked about a trumpet. And then he came on going down to the next chapter. Chapter 9, it's still about the trumpet, nothing happened. There was nothing mentioned about the seventh seal. Then he came to you, we come to chapter 10, and there it was. Now, quite a distance away. Six seal to the seventh seal. Quite a distance before he mentioned. Seventh seal opened, just suddenly nothing. And you see the thunder, the trumpets. Then you come to chapter 10, then you see that picture there in chapter 10. So what is that picture? Common sense. Now, this is how an example of how the seal scroll will look like. A scroll seal with seven seals. And a seal, so you don't know the content of it. The inside and outside it was written. But you can't really read it, even though it's outside, you can't really read the whole thing. So now if you open, you break the seal one by one until the seventh seal. What do you have after you break it open? The next one you have the open scroll. So you have the scroll that is open. So you see an open scroll. So when the moment you break the last seal, you want to open up and see what's in it. That's common sense. You understand that? And so that's not why was this vision shown to John in this way? In chapter 8, the seal, the seventh seal was open. And they were just silent. Huh? So, it must denote something. That the Lamb, when he opened the last of the seventh seal, definitely he opened it up. And so now the whole heaven was silent. What is he going to do? He is going to step forth to claim what's in the scroll. Obviously. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like I explained to you last week, if somebody gives you some special gift inside an envelope, there are sealed, someone sealed. And you start opening them one by one. The moment you open up, definitely you want to take out what's inside the envelope and see what is written there. And what is written the moment you read it, that you have something that is worth getting, you need to go to the place, obviously you want to go and get it as soon as you can. And so that's what it is. So you have an open scroll to see what is written there, or to proclaim what is in that seal book. And so what do you have? And that's what we see Revelation 10, the mighty angel coming down. This is what we have in Revelation 10. And what we read in Revelation 10 is the mighty angel came down, and here he described everything. And we all know this, that the Bible tells us in Revelation 10, the mighty angel, and I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven. Now I want you to remember, John saw this mighty angel coming down from heaven. And I always say that when you want to understand vision, you need to understand. When anyone dreams of vision, you need to understand how it begins and how it ends. It begins with him, the mighty angel, coming down. If John did not see him appear already on the earth with his right foot in the sea and his left foot upon the land. No, he saw him coming down. And he saw his action. It says here very clearly, he was clothed with a cloud. He described his appearance as he comes down, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the land. So you see, John has saw him with the action. As he comes down, John saw how he was clothed with a cloud and then with a rainbow around his head. And he had an open book in his hands. Obviously in his left hands. Because when you make a proclamation, you always make a proclamation with the right hands, not the left. The Bible don't tell you the left hand, but you know it has to be the left hand. Isn't that common sense? You know. Alright? And so when we see this, he put his right foot in the sea first. And we know by understanding types and shadows in the Bible what those symbols mean, what those words or expression in the Bible, what they mean, you know, when you talk about the sea. And the sea always represents the Gentile nations. The land has always been the Holy Land when it comes to such description. Now we know that when you mention about the sea like this, obviously when John saw this vision, the sea that he's talking about has to be the Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea. There's always this Great Sea they always talk about in the Bible. It is in this area that we see the history of mankind around that area, how that Egypt arises up, and then the Assyrian, and then we have the Roman, Babylonian, and the Egyptian, all those nations. That's all we see in the beast with seven heads. They're all depicted there. And then his left foot, of course, then he put his left foot upon the land, telling us, of course, that he has come to claim the earth. You know? But as he come, and the Bible verse here says that he was clothed with a cloud. And we know that, cloud is sort of a symbol over in the Old Testament, that the tabernacle of Moses, whenever God comes down to speak to Moses, the Bible said that there is always this cloud that comes. It's the glory of the Lord. You know. But yet the glory of this of God was like a sun, was like a fire. But the cloud shrouded it from blinding the person who views him. Okay? And so when we look at this rainbow around his head, it tells us that he was the angel of the covenant. Got it? The angel of the covenant. Now I want to say this, the angel of the covenant is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say he is the Lord Jesus Christ. I say no, it's not the Lord Jesus. The angel of the covenant has always been the Old Testament, referring of course to God himself in theophany form. And we know that in that form later on that we see depict who Christ was. But directly the angel of covenant has always been the Lord, God Almighty. For he was the one that made the covenant with Abraham. Is that right? You see, that was the covenant. So angel of covenant is not. Because if you do not understand, go over to the book of Malachi and it will prove to you. Because everybody says, angel of covenant, Jesus, angel of covenant. I know what you're talking about, but to get right to the real text or meaning of it, go over to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who's that? That's John, right? Okay. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant who you seek or who delighted in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That is, the word even, what does the word even mean? Now, don't read even in the English the way you read even. They mean to say, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That is the messenger of the covenant. The word even there is to say, that is the Lord whom you seek, that is the angel of the covenant. That is the Lord. Huh? So who is the Lord whom they were seeking? And look at the word here, L-O-R-D. That's Adonai. Adonai means the blesser of the earth. And we know that in the Old Testament, before this book of Malachi, it always referred to the presence of the Lord in angelic form. The Lord said unto my Lord. You get the point? But Adonai was not yet born into a physical body. Okay, so whenever you said the Lord, they and even Shashak come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. So, who is the angel of the covenant? It's none other than Yahweh in Adonai, in that form. Yahweh himself is the messenger of the covenant in the form of Adonai, that is, in theophany form. So when he came to Abraham and made him a covenant, he always appeared in the form of a man. Do you understand? Got it? So of course, we always, people say, it's Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, but it is not directly in that form. You get what I'm saying? Alright? So, we need to understand that the angel of the covenant, or the covenant maker, make a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham was not a Jew. He was not a Gentile. So the covenant, angel of the covenant, relates not to the Jew. He relates not to the Gentile. Neither did he relate himself to the church. He relates himself to his own word. He binds himself to his word. He's not bound to Israel. He's not bound to the Gentile. Neither is he bound in the church, to the church. He only binds to his word. If Israel has the word, that's where it is. If the church has the word, that's where it is. So we need to understand the relationship. Don't just say, oh, this and that angel of covenant is related only to the Jew and because Abraham was called. Now that you get some messed up. Okay, so you see this depiction here. So he had in his hand a little book open. So that's open to proclaim, well, I have the right now to redeem the earth. And he cried with a voice as a lion roar. So now he's saying that he's coming back as king. Do you know that children, the nation of Israel, they are still looking for the king to come? They are looking for the Messiah. They know they come, he'll be king, right? But we already have the Messiah. We already have the king. Isn't that right? So, that's what we are. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as a lion roar, and when he cried, someone thunder uttered their voice of sound. So here is where we have a little mystery. And this mystery is not much spoken of in the Bible, not detailed very much in the Bible at all, literally. Because it just left there. And that's, you know, that Jesus cried when he spoke, unless you eat my flesh and eat my blood, you don't have eternal life. And he just left it there. And they spoke about the temple, and he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And he left it there. And people can go speculate. And you know the disciples themselves don't even understand. Especially when it comes to eating flesh and drinking his blood. Obviously they scratched their head. And the Bible tells us in the book of John, John said, put him into an interjection and said that they only know about it that he referred to his body, the temple of his body, after the resurrection, and then we realize. So until the Holy Spirit is given to you, you cannot understand. And it is what Abraham said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot even begin to understand the Bible. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. And the Lord will teach you a little by little, a little by little. He cannot give you one whole full course, a buffet on a whole table spread thousands of miles long. He has to give you a little by little to chew, just like a baby growing up, on milk, and then semi-solid, and then solid. But you have to do that. Some people ask me, you know, in Africa, they wrote me, a couple of them in the past, oh, Brother Gunn, you know, I love your truth, I love your ministry. You know, I wanted to come to Singapore and stay with you for a few months and learn from you. I mean, you know, how can you learn everything in a few months? Huh? It takes me more than 40 years to learn. And have better understanding of the word. You think you can learn it overnight? No. Huh? And how about Jesus? How did he learn? He spent time, a lot of time, walking in the wilderness. Remember, he was a child, he grew up. After 12 years, he helped his father, yes. After helping his father when he was free, he go in the wilderness and learn to be alone with God. Until he was 30 years old, then he began his ministry. Some people think that now, what about Brother Abraham? You know, he spent his time also alone with God. In the cave, in the cabin, whatever he's supposed to be. You see, out there in the wilderness, he wanted to be alone too. You know. And he spent time in his own study room with all the whatever books is on his shelf. He wanted to learn what others have to say and learn from them as well. You know. You see? Even as a prophet, he learned. But people think that he doesn't learn. He just knows everything. Because God showed it to him. I know God showed it to him, but he still has to learn. You see? Alright. So when we look at this now, here we have this mysteries here. Sometimes I hear the voices and what on earth is that? And then it goes right down to in verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw upon the sea and upon the earth, lift up his hand to heaven. I swear by him that live forever and ever, who created heavens and the things therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are. You see, everything is about this earth. You understand? The Bible don't have to say this, but it's written here to show us that it's all about this earth now. He's coming for this earth. Everything on land and on sea. You know, and that there should be time no longer. No longer for what? Redemption of the heaven, of everything on the sea, in the earth, everything on this earth. Time should not stop. But when the seven turned out, the voice of John was about to run, whatever was being said. Nope, go write it, John. So, nothing was written. So if nothing was written, you don't know anything. So that's a mystery right here. And that's what is. When the angel was a little upset, so to speak, then he lifted up his hand and he swore. You know, that time should no longer delay. But then he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he had declared to his servants the prophet. We stop right here. This verse here is where there are preachers that say, no, this verse not pertains to Brother Branham. It doesn't pertain to Brother Branham. It pertains to the angel who trumpeted. The seventh trumpeting angel. Now, that's kind of a bit way off. The Bible here clearly says in the days of the voice. You understand? The voice, utterance, a message. When you voice up something, you are saying something. You are conveying a message. When he shall begin to sound, sound means to make known. But the word sounds, to many people, it's just only one. It must be an instrument. Hey, I said, stop sounding your horn. Well, you think that I'm talking about you pumping your horn on the car, or your big mouth is speaking out in all that loud voices. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know, when people are angry, they sound their horn in the supermarket. You have a car there, no. But the word sound to many people, it means an instrument. No, it's an expression, just a word. So words are beautiful when you use it to make it, you know, to make it known. So, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he has declared to his servants the prophet. This is why we need to understand this part. The mystery of God. Now this text here, this verse itself has so many parts, and you need to understand each part so that you know what is actually being said or what God wanted to convey. Right? First of all, here we have the voice. What is the voice? It forms a word. You voice out something. It's a message. You want to convey it. Sound is to make it known. I sound out my message. Then he says here, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God, what is it? As that which was declared to God's servant the prophet in the Old Testament. What was declared to them? What was the mystery that, you know, which was make known to the prophets of old, and yet they don't even understand. That mystery is the church age. The mystery of God, it kind of confused a lot of people. Wonder what kind of mystery it is. Now, the people that had that message, majority of them refer to the mystery of God is the mystery of Christ revealed. How many of you know that? Heard about it? Yeah. They said, oh, mystery of God is the mystery of Christ revealed. In this generation, what? The mystery of Christ has been revealed already before us, not in this church age alone. It was revealed at the beginning of the church. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, yes. But the mystery of God revealed is different. Huh? The mystery of God is this. Seven church ages. This is what I would call the mystery of God. This period of grace to the Gentile is called the mystery of God. Because in the Old Testament, it was revealed, it was well made known to the prophet, though they do not understand it, how that the Gentiles will come into the light of Israel, of the nation of Israel. Remember, the oracles of God was first given to Israel. Is that right? And the Bible said in the Old Testament, Isaiah and all the other prophetic books, that the Gentile will come into the light. And that's why God planned the Jew for the season until the mystery of God is finished. Then he will go back to the Jew. The wonderful thing is that God always works in a way that we can really understand quite easily. If you look at chapter 10, when the Bible said the mighty angel came down, John saw him coming down, that put his right foot in the sea, then his left upon the air, upon the land. So he goes to the Gentile first, then he goes to the Jew. So now when he comes back, this is where we are at the end time now. He comes back, he goes to the Gentile first, and finish the mystery of God. Finish it all. You understand? The Bible has to say, the mystery of God should be finished. Finish it all. When it's finished it all with the Gentile, the grafting in of the Gentile or the wild olive to the natural olive tree, which is Israel, then he will put his left foot upon the land, which then he will go to Israel. Do you see the pattern there? Now, it is not just that the denomination will not seeing the truth that we understand. But even in the end time message people, they don't really understand this mighty angel well enough. And they have make a mess sometimes about this verse 7. But we now understand, it is not that very difficult to already understand this. So now, we are at this last part here. Okay, concerning the seventh seal, which we know that verse 8 says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence. Correct? Okay, now, for those who think that the seventh seal is something else, I want to just show them some verses. Revelation 11, verse 15. If they say that the seventh seal is the seventh trumpet, alright? Because it says in Revelation 10, and verse 3, he cried with a loud voice. And when he had cried with a loud voice, seven thunder uttered their voices. Okay, so now, there are seven thunders that utter the voices of the mighty angel. Okay, now for those who say that the seven seal, because it shows in Revelation 10, and because it says that the seven thunder uttered their voices, and therefore it pertains to the seventh trumpet, the seventh trumpet, or at the last of the seventh trumpet, and even as Ewart Frank would say, that Revelation 10 pertains not to the church, but to the Jew. Okay? Now if it is so, look at chapter 11, verse 15. And the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So now you see, the Bible says different. That we, to understand, makes sense. That Revelation 10 do not pertain and nothing to do with the Jew directly, but only in parts. Okay? Because Brother Frank said that the totally to the Jew and nothing to do with the Gentile. Because why? The church is over. The church not appear after chapter 4. You see. Okay? Now, that is the theory. Now, when we look at this, it says here, the seven angels sounded, there were great voices in the heaven. Now, what else when the mighty angel cried, it was not a trumpet sound. But seven thunder uttered their voices. Now when did the seven thunder utter their voices? When John saw them in the vision. Was it in heaven or was it on earth? That is the question we need to understand. We need to answer. Did John see the thunder uttered on the earth? Or did he see them uttered in heaven? So this is what we need to know. The fact is simple. It is, they uttered on the earth. Why? Because when John saw the mighty angel came down, when he came down, where did he land? He landed on earth or in heaven? He landed on earth. So when John saw him put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, then he saw him lift up his hand and cried with a loud voice. So when he cried with a loud voice, the whole sin must be on this earth. And then how do I know? Simple. Look at chapter 10 again. Verse 4. When the seventh thunder had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from the earth saying, don't write it. Is it? Is it the voice from heaven? Because when he said, an angel come down, he's on earth. So there are thunder uttered on earth. Then he heard the voice from heaven. That's common sense. If it was uttered in heaven, John would have said it. There was son of thunder uttered in heaven, and the voice in heaven said, seal it. Now, God doesn't give you detail. All you have to do is just look at the word very carefully. It's all there. So, you cannot equate this with chapter 11, verse 15. Because there was a great voice, there were great voices in heaven. Saying, and definitely the great voices in heaven saying were not seven thunders' voices, and neither were they saying just this: the kingdom of heaven is become the kingdom of our Lord. If it is, it's there. What John heard was not written down. You see, that is what it is. We need to understand. Okay, go to another verse, chapter 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vow into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And he said, the voice of the temple of heaven. This is the seventh angel pouring out the vow. Okay, look at the chart. Let us look at the comparisons of this last of the trumpet and the vow. Now, if you want to look at this, here we have the seventh trumpet. Now, when the seventh trumpet is blown, what does it say to us? It brings forth actually seven vows. Okay? But we read early on in chapter 11, 15, and the seven angels sounded, and there was a great voice. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of our Lord have become the kingdom of the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, seven trumpet did not end exactly as in the seven vows. The seven trumpet actually heralded the end of it. And this last part of the seven trumpet bring forth the seventh of the trumpet series, bring forth seven vows, which are quickly poured out very fast. Okay, that is to say, when the seventh trumpet is blown, the kingdom of the earth is going to become the kingdom of our Lord in just, a fraction of time. So, the vows then are poured one by one, but not this one thing here. But vow number seven. And you see here what is written here. This vow number 7 is equivalent to the 6th seal. Because if you look at 6th seal, chapter 6, verse 12 and 16. Look at it. And when he had opened the 6th seal, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell onto the earth. Even as a fig tree cast an untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, which is rolled together, and every mountain and island will move out of the places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every born man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of God, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand it? So now there was a great earthquake. Alright? And this is what the 6th seal said. And there will be a split here. Okay? There's a split. Up north, because Christ come down. Okay? But the sixth song bar comes when it pops up, though it is in line with six seal, but look at Revelation chapter 16. Alright? And we see here in verse 12. And the sixth seal poured up his blood upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw this, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and into the, and of the whole world, and to gather them for the battle of Armageddon. That's what we have. And this is the battle of Armageddon. So when Christ comes, this is what happened. When he poured out the sixth bowl, okay, and the sixth seal is here, Christ will come and fight in the battle of Armageddon. So, he has nothing to do with the seventh seal. Seventh bowl had nothing to do with the seventh seal. Seventh trumpet has nothing to do with the seventh seal. Okay. So now, when we look at the events of those seven sevens in the book of Revelation, we know that the seven churches, seven angels, the lamb with seven eyes and seven horns, they are all related to the church. Okay? And then we have the seal. We have the thunders. We have the trumpets and the vows are concerning the events of Christ coming and dealing with the earth. That's what we have. What about the wars now? Let us look at the chart over this side. Here, when the fourth trumpet is blown, there are three wars. War, war, war. Oh. Let's go to Revelation 9. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Now, if in case you want to know where the wars are, it's just above chapter 9, in chapter 8, which we have in verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the dark and the day shone up for the third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying to the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to come. Now again here, by reason of the three other trumpets. So now we have three more trumpets, 5, 6, and 7. Right. So by reason of this other three trumpets. So now if those wars are to be delivered within these three trumpets, so it cannot be that the seventh seal has anything to do with the seventh trumpet. Right? Seventh seal is just plain silence. Okay. So now you go to chapter 5 and it says the fifth angel sounded. Here comes the first war. And I saw a star fall upon from heaven, and the earth to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now the star that fell from heaven, for goodness sake, I have heard a lot of people say in the denomination, no matter what, the star is a meteorite. Oh, comment. It fell from heaven. Okay. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And you will know it has to be known in the Old Testament. The stars refers to none other than messengers, and which are angelic from heaven. And who is the great star that fell? And it was given a key. Which of the angels was given a key to the bottomless pit? And that angel was none other than Lucifer. When Lucifer fell, you know, and how did he deceive Eve? And then he became the king and the god of this world. So he had the key to the bottomless pit. And what is the bottomless pit? The bottomless pit is not an abyss, Like some people said, but the Bible actually said bottomless means it has no bottom. If you have no bottom, then you cannot, when you fall, you don't come to the bottom. You just keep falling. And then he was given a key and he did all this that you read here. Is that he set up a system and trying to convince the world that what he has is the real thing. And what we see is that he is imitating the work of Christ. And that's what we see in the Catholic system, how it begins. Whereby, already in the Old Testament, to false prophet, setting up all these religious, like Nimrod. Then all the way right now, among the Jewish people, they commit adultery, they think that they are other gods, so they try to set a system to compete. So, Satan had this key. A key is an authority to do whatever he wants. A key to the bottomless pit. To trap people. And he said, why did God give him a key in the first place to trap people? After all, you must understand our God is a God who knows all things. Right? Why do you think like ISIS will say, some extremist Muslim or Hindu or other religion will say, oh, your God is not a God of love, He's a God of war too? I said, of course. Because why, we are fighting a spiritual warfare. And as Paul said, a warfare are not carnal warfare. They are spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. So the weapons of our warfare must also be spiritual to tear it down. But yes, God called Joshua and his people to go into the land and kill all the Canaanites. What a horrible God. If you only know the kind of people that the Canaanites are. What kind of people they were. You know. They are filled with wickedness and evil in them. That's why there exists no longer Canaanite in the flesh in the world today. But there exists Canaanite in the spirits in the world today. They are so evil, they are so wicked. You ask me, who are they? They are everywhere. People who are fighting for other countries like mercenaries. People who are extremists like the ISIS. Yeah? It could be just be anybody in any religion who is evil enough to kill. And that's the Canaanite spirit. You know that, don't you? That's what it is. What did the Canaanite worship? Ashtaroth. Moloch. They are gods that demands, according to them, that's their gods, demands what? Child sacrifice. They put people to walk in the fire. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, throw them into the fire. That's the God of the Canaanite. And what do we have today? Even in Christianity, there are these cult leaders that will demand the full respect and subjection of their people to their words. And when they turn up to drink poison, they won't do it because they are subjected to him. And this authority, they get them to kill. And that's what's going on even today, everywhere in the world. That's the spirit of the Canaanite. So that's why God told Joshua, go in and kill them all. But of course, you know what happened? He didn't. And they had to follow them for many, many generations. You see. And I just wonder, while I'm working in a mental hospital, it is said that the criminal, those hardcore criminal, the murderer, serial killer, they found that in their blood they have one extra chromosome. Maybe that is what. What is the cause to? We do not know. Because after all, the serpent, because in the mixture of the serpent blood, it causes all this problem. So we do not know whether it is because of the extra chromosome, but they found to be true that in most hardcore murderers they have this. You see. So God knows what He was doing when He asked Joshua to kill them all. Obviously. You know. So here we have in this first war, the fifth trumpet, the bottomless pit, Satan go out there to do what he has to do. To build a system so much just like the real church of God. But he can't fool the elect. He'll fool the foolish people in the world, the religious people in the world, to worship a God that isn't God. That's the first woe. Now the second woe. We read it in chapter 11. Now if you look into chapter 9, the first woe, if you read all the way right now, you find that it says also that the bottomless pit being open. Okay. And you read over right now here, let us read verses. Okay, I think we should read it all anyway, so that you can understand. Alright. Now, in verse 2 of chapter 9, when he opened the bottomless pit, there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth had power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Alright, so all this are camouflage. All these are just, trying to imitate the glory of God. And of course, the green grass of the earth represent those who are given life, those who are God's people. And to them was given they should not kill them, that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was at the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shape of the locusts were like horses preparing to battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns of gold, and their faces were as the face of men. Of course, it speaks about the speech and the intelligence of men in their work, which of course we find in the organized churches. And their breastplate, as it were, breastplate of iron, and the sound of wing were as the wing of chariot of many horses went into battle. Their tails like scorpion, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had kings over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, which name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon. One war is passed, and behold, there come two wars more after. So, during the first war concerning the bottomless pit being opened up. Now, the bottomless pit has already been in action by this task, Satan, working on the plan to deceive people. But you see, when the bottomless pit is fully opened up, this is what is going to happen right here. People will be seeing all kinds of demonic activities. People can get into a hallucination, delusions, illusion they will be seeing. Anything. And they wish they were dead. You know. But then death will not flee from them. Man, but death will flee from them. And they will not easily find death. And then this is what's gonna happen in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. After the two prophets were slain, this is what is going to happen. Because God is going to finally start to put out all this trumpet, the last three trumpet, that will bring the final wrath of God. And then in verse chapter 11, we will look at the second woe. What will happen after the two prophets is killed right here. Alright, when the bottomless pit is open, and then the man of sin is sitting on the throne, and then the two prophets will be killed. Chapter 11, verse 7 to 14. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that I sent out of the bottomless pit now shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And there the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And there the strong upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, and shall send give one to another, because the true prophet who tormented them for the first 2.5 years. For 2.5 years, alright? And after these 2.5 days, the Spirit of the Lord from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, that God will raise them up after 2.5 days, when they were killed by the Antichrist. And the same hour there was a great earthquake. The temple of the city fell. The earthquake was slain of men, 7,000, and remnant were afraid. This will be, of course, in the land of Israel, and give glory to the God of heaven. The second word is passed, and behold, the third comes quickly. So once the key is given to Satan to open up the bottomless pit, all kinds of activity will come up. And then the Antichrist will kill the two prophets. Right? And what will he do? Now he will sit upon the throne, because that's the third world. He becomes incarnate. And you find that in chapter 12. Of chapter 12, verse 7 to 17. And there was war in heaven. Michael and the angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and the serpent and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of our Lord, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which means that he is incarnate, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heaven, and ye that dwell in the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the dragon, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and help the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, war number one, bottomless pit, open up to torment. Demons are going to let loose. War number two, the prophet being killed, the voice of God is silent, and Israel is going to face the man of sin. Third war, Satan is cast down. And the Bible, as I explained this before, Satan was cast out from heaven. If you look into Isaiah and Ezekiel, he was cast out, but he's not cast down yet. But when he's cast down, he's incarnate. And so that's what he says in verse 12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a short time. And in verse 10, you can read the word where it says, the accuser of a brethren is cast down. Now he is incarnate. And once incarnate, in the Pope and the man of sin brought down. He's going after Israel. When he was going to go after Israel, the Bible said the earth of the world will open up to receive those the woman. Everywhere in the world, nations, those that will be faithful to Israel, will keep them. But the rest that remains out there in Israel, in whatever country, Antichrist will go sick after them. And not only that, he says over here in the last part of verse 17, those that keep the commandments of the Lord, and those are the Jews. And those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, they are the foolish virgin, and all those that will not bow down to the Antichrist. Huh? You know, in the Great Tribulation, when this thing happened, I believe that those denomination, organized, traditional Christians who really love the Lord will open their eyes now that their life is finished. You know. Satan will go out there through the man of sin and seek whoever he will to destroy. Now, here, just let me finish up before I continue next week to discuss about what do we expect. What do we expect when the rapture is about to take place? Now here today, I just want to say this as we close. We are in the year 2050. Now if you look at the timeline, we are already past 2,000 years. Because, in fact, by today, we are actually past 6,000 years since Adam was created. Is that not right? We are past 6,000 years. And the Bible did not tell precisely that 6,000 years it will stop. No, that's what people expect. As even Peter said, you know, God is full of mercy and grace. He do not want man to be lost. He wants man to come to the realization that they need a Savior. So if Christ should tarry a little while, if God would just tell Jesus, no, just a little bit, wait a little longer. Just give it an extra time. Then we ought to be patient. Since 1948, Israel became a nation. May 1648, Israel became a nation, right? The Bible tells us when you see the fig tree for our leaves, you know summer is nigh. So, if that be so, would this be the generation of 70 years? We always look for it. Now, what I said is that it is not wrong for us to study the Bible and try to find the year, perhaps, as to when Christ will come. Is that right? It's not wrong for us to assume, yeah, he may come at such and such a period of time within this year to this year. But we should never, never say it will be. Jehovah's Witnesses have predicted, and they call it prediction. In fact, they believe, actually, by their own article that is written, that were written, that it is actually a prophecy. You can go online and search. I think they have prophesied about seven or eight times, I think. The first one, 1914. It didn't come to pass, they switched to 1915. It didn't come to pass, they switched to 1918. And then finally the last one, I think it was the switch to 1975, I think. And Jehovah's Witnesses is a great, terrible cult. Deceive a lot of people with money and properties and all of that stuff. It's very evil. And if you ever have a Jehovah's Witness come to your house and try to give you a pamphlet, tell them to check the Bible with the original Bible. Because their Bible translation has a lot of missing verses. Because they said this is not so, this is not so. They remove a lot of verses from the Bible. You know. So, even Brother Branham, he predicted, right? He says, I did not prophesy. I may miss it a year, or 20 years, or something, or 100 years, something like that, he said. And he predicted in 1977, he said, based upon some vision that I had. And I believe that when I look at the vision at that time, back in the 70s, and I realized that Brother Branham make a mistake with the calculations, you know, about really year, things like that. You know. So anyway, it was a prediction, but to many Branhamites on the year before it happened, by before 1977 come, many of them were saying, it will happen, it will happen, it will happen. And so we have people, young men, start running around, going after women to get married because 1977 is coming to pass. But 1977 is how many years ago? How many years ago now? 30 something years, right?
Yeah.
See. And people are facing me, challenging me that it will come to pass. I said, no, it will not come to pass. Someone will go and 78 will come. And then other people have predicted in 1980. And this preacher now is still on, but he never admitted that he prophesied. He said, no, I didn't prophesy. I was talking face to face in Hong Kong. He said, if it doesn't come to pass, I throw my Bible into the waste paper basket and all that thing, you know. Men are so sure that you will come with such and such a day, such and a month. The Bible tells us no man knows the hour, not the day. We only know the season. The season means, what is the season? Not January to Feb, not the all we call spring, summer, winter, autumn and winter. Not a kind of season. A season means the period of time that we know around the time that will come to pass. And that's what the Bible tells us. When you see the fig leaf put on, fig tree put on leaves, you know the summer is nigh. That is what we call the season. Do you understand? So, now we look at 1948. 48, we already said that Jerusalem was born and temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 years. Right? And Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away until all this be fulfilled. If a generation means to say that Israel, from the day that Israel was in the land till 70 AD, it was destroyed. Because Jesus' birth was 0 BC or 0 AD, right? Correct. So when he preached the gospel, when he came to preach the gospel, and the Jew, after having the gospel, they were still in Jerusalem, the temple was still there, but in 70 AD, it was gone. So now, so we look at the time, and that Israel became a nation in 48. 48, Israel have the land. And now, if we add 70 years to it with that 2080, would 2018 see the coming of Christ? Will he come back? Now, we are expected that. Lord, let it be! If that's what you mean, you know what I mean? Lord, if that's what you meant by saying this generation shall not pass away, in your first coming, that 70 years, and Israel restored back, until your coming, will it be 70 years also? You came to Israel the first time,
And the temple was destroyed some years later. Now Israel back in his land. Prince of God. That's what Israel means. And you are the prince. Will you come back for them before 7 years is expired? How many of you want him to come by 2018? Certainly I want him to come. Right? Is it possible that he might come? That's why I said, watch Israel now. Watch Russia. What's going on in the world today? Look at the king of the east coming to Singapore here to have discussion. Huh? Isn't it? See how the world is so more corrupt. Even in Manila airport, they try to freeze you with bullet in your hand baggage. Right? Look at ISIS. Look at what's out there. What time are we at? So, what is the time? You see? So, now if 1948 comes and goes, oh my, I feel very sad. I said, Lord, what then? What now? What do I look at now? And some people say, you know what? This generation doesn't start in 1948. It started in 1967. So 1967 has 70 years to it. Wow, that's too long. Huh? But what is 1976? What is 1967? To me, 1967 is when the 60s war, right? They took back the old city, right? Yes. Wonderful. But if 67 is liberation for the old city, at 50 do it. If you have 50 do it, because 50 is Jubilee. Release. If that's what before the 67 and old city phone you had. That's 2017. So would that be when 2017 to 2018 something happened in Israel? Huh? Would that be a great earthquake? Would that be a sign of, well, the supernatural? Or what would there be some activities of, well, signing a peace treaty coming up? That's why 2017 and 2018 are great years for us. Right. So now it's 2015, 26, 20, 16, 17, 18, 3 more years. Watch what's going to happen. Would they, Ezekiel 38, 39, would that battle be fought? Would that war be fought to bring a third world war into the picture? Oh, everybody listen to me. No, everything's okay. What? Do you know America, they do not believe that Japan will go into war. There was the quote. You know, during the war, they used code, huh, to send messages. And this code was known to America by the title. I don't remember what it was called now. I can't remember. They thought they don't really exist. They think they were just not real. But there was a man who spent, I don't know how many years, decoding the code. It stressed him so much. He knew the code was real, that the Japanese was using the communicate with German and whatever, Russia, whatever out there they are like. And he spent, I don't know how many years. So he was so stressed. They lost it. Until he finally cracked it. When he cracked it, and he gave it out to various departments. But nobody take it seriously. So one day, a message was sent, saying that the Japanese is going to attack Pearl Harbor. And this message was given to the commander in charge of Pearl Harbor, and he looked at it. He was laughing over it. He thinks that was not possible. That's the man, the one who, what do you call that, who received this call? The signal, huh? He says, did you tell anybody? Did anybody know about this? He says, no, sir. Then, keep quiet about it. And he looked at it, and he threw it in the waste basket. What happened to Pearl Harbor? It's all gone. Right? You know the Pearl Harbor? Their fleet is completely wiped out. Because nobody believed that it is possible. So it's the same today. A lot of people say, no, not possible. The word of God cannot be real. Jesus is not coming back. There's no Jesus. Look at the world. If there is a Jesus, why is it full of pains and sorrow? Everybody have all these ideas about this. Not possible. So that's why people think that the Third World War is not possible. But who's going to start it? We do not know who's going to start it. The Bible tells us that only God will draw the hook, put a hook on the nose of the army of the north and put them down to Israel. But could there be something that act as a bait in the first place to start it? Could Israel be the one that strike against Iran? So all these are the things that goes on. What about Damascus? The prophecy of Damascus. The border of Damascus. Damascus was destroyed. Was to be destroyed. Look at it, what's going on right now. Just outside of Damascus, there were all a lot of towns and suburbs being destroyed. When is it going to happen that Damascus would be destroyed? Mark my word, it will be. Because when God says about Moab will be destroyed, Moab was destroyed. Where are the Moabites today? Nothing. Where are the Ammonites today? Nothing. All because of why God destroyed them? Because they refused to allow Moses and the children of Israel just to pass through, to go into the promised land. And as the Bible said, anybody that curses you will be cursed. Anybody that blesses you will be blessed. Israel, not because of the people Israel, because Israel is, the word itself means prince of God. Not the people shall be the princes of God, but in that people will be a real Israel. How soon would it be when you see the word coming? And what about Brother Abraham's visions of a woman president? Huh? Is it coming to pass? Some people say, nah, Hillary Clinton is not going to be woman president. You know, maybe it is Sanders. But after all, he's so good, he's against the TPP. You know, this trade, Pacific trade. He said, America is losing job. The entrepreneur is all getting rich coming here to Asia to give the job to these people. So he says, vote for me. I'll bring back job to America. Job to America. Will Hillary Clinton comes in? Even as Barbara Bram said, if it's not a woman preacher, it will be that the Roman Catholic Church will take control of America. And I won't be surprised, look at what's going on. The influence of the Catholic Church. See. So we are at the end. We are very close at the end. And I'm looking forward to the Lord's coming. Prayerfully, I'm looking that He will return by the year 2018. If not, we still have to go on. Because we don't know what's the purpose of God. Why did He not come after the generation is over? Because if generation is not 70, then what is it? There must be something else that we do not understand. And God only be the one that will open up our understanding. Amen. Next week we'll come and we'll talk about how to look at it. Heavenly Father, we ask for your grace now. Thank you for your grace, Lord, and for your word of life. There's so much things, O Lord, that you have for us in your word, so much to learn. And we just try to learn as much as we can, Father. Just give us the grace to grasp whatever we could understand. And to keep on moving, Father. Keep on looking at your word. And we know, Father, when we said to us, when you see all that which the Bible spoke about, it must come to pass, we have to lift our head. For our redemption draws near. And may each day, Father, we get up in the morning till we lay our head down to sleep. May we, Lord, look upon Mount Zion. Where cometh our help? And look upon Mount Zion, because there is a beautiful city. The holy city, New Jerusalem. All the way our heart longs for. Yes, Lord. That's where we belong, Father. Build a land. And may our heart, Father, truly, truly fall in love, Father, with the Holy Word. And with our Savior, our Lord, and our Master. We thank you, Father. Bless this day. Bless the rest of it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.